The fifth meeting of the ninth session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues is called to order. Distinguished members of the forum, in accordance with our program of work, the Permanent Forum will today start the debate on item 4A of the agenda. It is entitled Human Rights. A. Implementation of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Follow-up summary report and recommendations of the Permanent Forum mission to the plurinational state of Bolivia. Follow-up summary report and recommendations of the Permanent Forum mission to Paraguay. In the course of this debate, the Permanent Forum will engage in a dialogue with the two governments as follows. The UN Permanent Forum will first hold a dialogue with the government of Bolivia. This will be followed by a dialogue with the government of Paraguay. Each dialogue is scheduled to last 90 minutes. During each of the dialogues, I intend to invite at least one government representative to join me on the podium. Representatives of the UN country teams from Bolivia and Paraguay will also participate in each dialogue, as well as the invited representatives of various indigenous organizations. We shall now proceed with item 4.
As soon as you tell them to come, they will come. Okay. They're waiting for you.
Invito?
Primero da tu declaración y después los invito.
Respondiendo a una petición.
Responding to a request from the government of Bolivia, the UN Permanent Forum undertook a multi-agency mission. They include the ILO, the FOA, and the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights to the Department of Santa Cruz and La Paz in April 2009. The objective was to verify reports on forced labor and servitude in the Guarani population. The other request was that proposals would, and recommendations would be made to ensure that all rights of indigenous peoples would be respected. This mission was put together by our colleagues Victoria Tauli, Larsen Derved, and Bartolome Clavero, and myself as well. After the mission, the Permanent Forum prepared a report and recommendations for the government of Bolivia. During the eighth period of sessions, the Permanent Forum decided to publish the mission's report as an official document of the Permanent Forum. A summary, which includes all of the recommendations, is an official document of the Permanent Forum in the ninth session. During the eighth session, the forum also urged the UN country team to undertake follow-up on the report's recommendations, suggesting also that the government of Bolivia report on the implementation of the recommendations of the Permanent Forum during the ninth session. The government of Bolivia prepared a report for the ninth session, A/C 19/2010/12, add 1. There is also a decision to participate in a dialogue with the Permanent Forum to continue to consider the implementation of the recommendations from the Permanent Forum. Hence, we hail the participation of the government of Bolivia in today's dialogue. The Permanent Forum has put together questions for the government based on the recommendations of the Permanent Forum's mission and on the report submitted by the government of Bolivia to the Permanent Forum for this year. We are very pleased that representatives of the country team will also be participating in the dialogue. The Bolivian country team put together a detailed report on its activities in support of the recommendations of the permanent forum. We are very pleased that we have today with us representatives of the members of the Guarani People's Assembly. They will also be participating in today's dialogue. I would like to thank everyone for their participation. I would now invite to the podium Mr. Vice Minister of Decolonization, Mr. Felix Cardenas. Also, Ambassador Javier Loaiza.
Señor Viceministro Cárdenas.
Vice Minister Cárdenas, sir, you have the floor. We have set for 13 minutes, and we would very much be pleased if you could limit your remarks to that time period. Mr. Vice Minister, Minister, you have the floor.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Distinguished members of the Permanent Forum, ambassadors, delegates, brothers, sisters, representatives of different indigenous peoples, we will move on to the report on the recommendations of the Permanent Forum of the United Nations for Indigenous Matters, the Chaco Boliviano Mission. In Bolivia, we are going through a unique period. As of 6 December 2009, we have seen changes in the Bolivian map, the political map. Prior to 6 December, the landholders, the estate holders, were still undertaking a global plan against the government and people of current President Morales. There was a high degree of racism and violence from the landholders and the bosses, together with the judges and those in law enforcement on the national and regional level. This brought obstacles to the domestic process of change and also to the matter of indigenous rights. On 6 December 2009, the Bolivian people, with 64% of the vote, supported our brother Evo Morales, who was elected president of the plurinational state of Bolivia. After that electoral victory, and with the support of the Bolivian people, our government put together a strategy for accelerating the pending matters for indigenous peoples. It is in this context that today we present our report. In keep with the recommendations in paragraph 5, operative 5 of the 7th session of the Permanent Forum of the United Nations for Indigenous Matters on in April to May of 2008, referring to the situation in Chaco at the behest of the plurinational state of Bolivia, an official experts mission of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Matters in May 2009 undertook a visit on the ground in Chaco, in Bolivia, in order to gather information. The 8th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, held in May of 2009, in accordance with OP 9004, decided to publish the report of the Chaco visit. There was a There was also a request that at the ninth session, the results and the recommendations be presented. This was published in August 2009. It was thus that the plurinational state of Bolivia allows itself to present its progress in the implementation of the recommendations of the Permanent Forum, the implementation of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, Convention 169 of the ILO. Both of these international instruments are now part of our national legislation. They were also incorporated into the Constitution adopted in the constitutional referendum of 25 January 2009. Free and informed prior consent, consultation and participation in hydrocarbon activities goes back to 2007. This is when we see the beginning of the implementation of the rights to prior and free informed consent in matters of hydrocarbons. We submit a chart with progress. It is entitled Consultation and Participation in Hydrocarbon Activities. This is in a document that accompanies the report. We will only be looking at some of these matters. In 2007, there were four consultations. In 2008, one consultation. And in 2009, three consultations. The ministries involved in the region of the Chaco. First, the government ministry, referring to paragraph 15 of the recommendations of the forum, the Minister of Government, working with the Bolivian police, has created a police command in Chaco. Hence, the presence of this organization has increased in that region in order to safeguard the inhabitants of this region, the Guarani people. Referring to paragraph 16 of the recommendations, we see that the government ministry, through the Bolivian police, will guarantee the free circulation of people without discrimination. However, civil servants in the prefectures of the departments of Santa Cruz, Tarija, and Chuquisaca are not participating in this work and actually contribute to actions that generate conflict. The Ministry of the Presidency of Labor, Employment, Social Provision, Planning and Development, Plural Economic and Production, and Justice, and Rural and Land, as well as the Guarani Interministerial Group, have moved to implement a transitory interministerial plan. The process launched with this Guarani Interministerial Transitory Plan continues to be implemented, and in reference to recommendations 36, 37, and 38 of the forum, there is now a transitory interministerial plan that has been put to the consultation of the Guarani People's Assembly and the councils of Tarija, Chuquisaca, and Alto Parapeti. This has been put to a decision by the Guarani People's Assembly. This plan includes food, sovereignty, and security for boys and girls and families in the Guarani people, established in Component 3 of this plan. The goal of this plan is to lay the groundwork for dignified conditions for the Guarani families in the Bolivian Chaco within the framework of the National Plan on a dignified, sovereign, productive, democratic Bolivia. We are ensuring the individual rights and collective rights of people, families, and communities that are in this area, the Bolivian Chaco. We're also trying to ensure the territorial reconstitution of the Guarani people with improvements and replanting of agrarian land and an implementation of agrarian reform. We are trying to also ensure that the freed peoples have dignified housing in communities. We're developing and launching projects and programs for infrastructure and environment. We are also seeking to move forth with a strategy for cross-cutting communication throughout the process, creating also a mechanism for implementation and follow-up. There are numerous components of this plan. First, ensuring the human rights and basic fundamental freedoms of the Guarani people in the Bolivian Chaco. We want to make sure that there is a reconstitution of the Guarani land through replanting and other improvements to their land, also dignified conditions for the families that have been freed, and that they find housing in these areas. There's also an effort to bring cross-cutting communication. We have Component 6 as well, which includes follow-up implementation of the plan. And in the strategy implementation for this, we have also an interministerial effort. We have adopted the plan by the plurinational government in order to further develop the Guarani families. There's also an institutionalization of the plan with the creation of an execution unit in the Guarani capitals in Santa Cruz, Tarija, and Chuquisaca. We're including strategic plans and projects in all of our institutions, government organizations, and NGOs as well, to make sure that this is all covered in their short, medium-term, and long-term plans. The support for this plan in all institutions and public projects and private projects. There is a follow-up and monitoring of the program under the responsibility of the National Office for the Implementation of the Plan, and this with a consultative council. There are numerous components. We want to recover lands for the territorial reconstitution of the Guarani nation. Another is the economic and productive development and natural resources. This refers to the economic and social development of the Guarani communities, making sure that things are equitable with a fair use of the natural resources in the territory of the Guarani nation. Three, human development and research with health, education, basic sanitation, basic services and research. Fourth, identification of human rights within the Guarani community. We're trying to restore the value of the Guarani essence. Their way of life should strengthen their organizational structure. There's also the indigenous autonomy, organization, and political participation. With this, the idea is to gain autonomy based on this identity. There's a claim for the rights of indigenous peoples by the Guarani Nation, and this should bring full political participation. Labor inspectors, the Ministry of Labor, Employment, and Social Provision has implemented a program with labor inspectors in Carapari, Iyacuiba, Entre Rios, Huaracareta, and Marichiquetá, and Charaga in Santa Cruz. This is for the implementation and reestablishment of labor rights of the Guarani people. There are processes of training and labor rights for the indigenous peoples, for all civil servants in the Chaco region that are involved in receiving cases that have to do with matters of servitude, forced labor, or similar formats of work against indigenous peoples. There's also the matter of institutional strengthening. In step with the public policies instituted by the Bolivian government, there's a unit for the management of public policies against racism and discrimination. It falls within the fold of the Office on the Fight Against Racism and Discrimination in the Vice Ministry of Decolonization. Many activities have been launched. There is the process of developing a diagnostic on racism and discrimination in the plurinational state of Bolivia. There is also the creation of public policies against racism and discrimination against indigenous peoples. There will be technical tools provided to make effective the rights of the original peoples and civils. These tools will be made available to civil servants in the ministries of the plurinational state of Bolivia. There's also the matter of recommendation 27 of the Permanent Forums Mission report. There have been computer equipment provided to numerous offices throughout Bolivia. The report also establishes training and indigenous rights in state institutions. This is based on legislation, the Constitution, supreme decrees, and different provisions. There's also a communication strategy in health matters. There are many centerpieces to this, for example, the judicial power, the improvements of the indigenous lands in Bolivian Chaco. These come from requests that have been bogged down in the agrarian courts and in the judicial body. We're talking about large swaths of lands that were taken by the landholders from the Guarani people. Obviously, because of the judicial structure in Bolivia, we are still in a process of jurisdictional overlap as regards community justice and different processes that the government is tackling. There's also the matter of agrarian reform and land titles, community land titles in Alto Parapetim. There are requests and claims put forth by Guarani people, and there are public policies that set forth, or rather cover areas such as higher education, political participation. And I should also note that there's an important event in Bolivia, that is to say the Plurinational Assembly. We see this launched in December 2009. It includes representatives of different indigenous communities and peoples, campesinos, and intercultural organizations. It is here that Wilson Changaray of the Guarani People's Assembly has been elected as a plurinational assembly member representing a special circumscription of indigenous people, just as we have indigenous assembly members in the three departments of Santa Cruz, Chuquisaca, and Tarija. This is the summarized report. There are other components as well to that. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to the Vice Minister. We will move on to our next speaker. We will hear from our distinguished members of our group, Professor Clavero. Professor Clavero, you have the floor. Microphone to the speaker, please. Microphone to the speaker, please.
No,
just raise the hand. Yeah. No. Professor Clavero, podemos iniciar de...
Might we begin? Thank you very much. Concrete matters regarding the report from the Plurinational State of Bolivia to the mission of the forum. First, the right to consultation on matters of hydrocarbons. Perhaps you could indicate what norms govern this procedure of consultation with regard to the extraction and exploitation of hydrocarbons. Perhaps you could also indicate whether what these steps are as regards hydrocarbons. A second question has to do with the police command in Chaco. This was established to protect the inhabitants of the Guarani people. Perhaps you could explain to us how this special command addresses the protection of people subjected to forced labor and communities that are captives within the landed estates. Also regarding the interministerial plan for the Guarani people, perhaps you could indicate the ways in which the liberated freed families are addressed and how they are settled in communities. What human impact has come with the progress in the agrarian reform as regards the freeing of peoples can you provide quantitative data that reflects the impact of riparian reform as regards the freeing of individuals, the freeing of families, the freeing of communities that had found themselves captives and subjected to forced labor? Also within agrarian reform, as regards clearing up the matter of titles and land titles, can you indicate the progress made since the visit of the Permanent Forum's mission? Could you offer more details on support for freed families in the area of housing, health, and education? As regards the establishment of a unit for fundamental rights in the Ministry of Labor, Employment, and Social Justice, could you give information on the performance of this unit in the different departments, and in particular as regards the Guarani people in Camiri, Monte Agudo, and Jacuiba? As regards the Interministerial Council for the Eradication of Servitude, Forced Labor, and other similar formats, could you provide updates on the work undertaken so far in a practical sense by the Council? Lastly, I should also like to make mention of the difficulties that have been put forth by the still-to-be-renovated judicial power as regards the clearing up of land titles, the freeing of individuals, and the reconstitution of communities. What provisions have been set forth to get this situation unblocked in the judicial power, with the creation of a new judicial power in step with the constitution of the plurinational state of Bolivia? This is the freeing of people, so should there not be a transitory regime that will make more agile the legal procedures that move forward with the freeing of these individuals and communities? These are the questions that I have. Thank you very much. Thank you, Professor. We will now hear from Professor Dobson.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon. Thank you to the representatives of the Bolivian government for your statement. The questions relate to the recommendations of the Permanent Forum mission to Bolivia, and they particularly pertain to the functioning of the court system and the rights of the child. In terms of prosecutions, my questions are, what steps will the Bolivian government take to expedite the prosecution of cases relating to the Guarani people? In its report of the ninth session of the Permanent Forum, the government of Bolivia states that certain landowners mentioned by names led a riot in order to prevent the granting of a community their lands of origin. Does the government plan to take any action against these landowners, particularly under the Penal Code? And the report also states that certain landowners mentioned by names keep a number of Guarani people in situations of servitude and forced labour. And does the government plan to take any action against these landowners, particularly under the Penal Code? My next set of questions relate to members of the armed forces, the police, prosecutors and judges in the Chaco region, and training so far as human rights are concerned. My questions are as follows. What kind of steps has the government taken or plans to take in this regard? And secondly, what are the government's long-term plans for training for human rights? My next questions relate to the Indigenous communities on a collective basis and their access to legal services financed by the state, so they're able to protect and defend their interests. The questions are as follows. To what extent have such legal services been established, and if not, what are the government's plans for their establishment? Secondly, the government states in its report that the, and I quote, the judiciary remains under control of members of far-right political parties, end quote. If this is the situation in the district judiciary, will the government, Bolivia, be more active in bringing cases to the appeal courts in order to ensure that justice is enforced? And in the Universal Periodical Review, the UPR of Bolivia this year, there were a number of recommendations regarding the Supreme Court and the Constitutional Tribunal. Are these courts now considered to be independent of external influence and operating in accordance with the rule of law? My next questions relate to the carrying out of land reform and the government of Bolivia's provision of support and training, including education for children, for at least the first 5 years, and the establishment of key infrastructures. What plans does the government have to provide the necessary education for children? Has the government commenced building schools for the Guarani children? The Permanent Forum's mission reports that there is overwhelming evidence all over the country of sexual exploitation of children. What measures will the government take to put an end to these crimes? Thank you. That concludes my questions.
Gracias, Professor Dodson.
Thank you, Professor Dodson. We'll continue with our speakers list. We will now give the floor to our brothers and sisters representatives of the Assembly of the Guarani People, Celso Padillo, brother. You have the floor, or rather, you will have the floor for 13 minutes also. You have the floor now, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I should first like to thank you for the official invitation to the Assembly through Victoria. This is very important to us. We feel very privileged. According to the report, or rather following the report from the State of Bolivia, I would like to ask that it be known that we are aware of the report. The Guarani people throughout the Chaco in three different departments have been following these matters closely. We have only really covered one sector, though, of our 96 sectors, in this case, Alto Parapetí. This is one area in which, one area that has entered into the process of land improvement after the fact that in Bolivia, after a long fight, we have been able to bring clear titles to the original indigenous lands. We have seen important progress. For example, the fact that there is movement in documentation. Many NGOs that have come before us have mentioned this. So far, in other areas, there has been absolutely no progress. The progress of clearing up land titles is paralyzed. And I believe that it's important to make this known. Last year, through the interministerial plan, the Guarani people, working in coordination with the government, has allocated more than $2,300,000 to the process of supporting the reorganization of territorial lands. This year, 4 months down the road, we have not seen continuity in the process. With the new vice minister, we have tried to continue the process, and the only thing he tells us is that there are no economic resources to continue with this. In Alto Parapeti, more than 400-some families, almost 500-some families, are suffering at the hands of the landholders. Once the process was launched, there was a very crucial phase for our brothers. There was an important moment to enter into the reorganization of the land. However, there's desperation among our brothers and sisters due to the backlog in the process. The landholders are once again taking over lands, this because of the slowness in the reorganization of the lands. I should like to indicate that the interministerial plan, while the government's plan does indicate that there are six components, we have not received the report as we have just heard it. The expectations that we had throughout this plan have not been met. We do not wish to be used. That is to say, we do not want ministries to come and take over lands that can mitigate needs in all of these components of the plan. Education, food security, health, restitution of lands. All of this has really led to conflict within our organization. The Labor Ministry has not been able to respond to the needs of the Guarani people, and the majority of resources have been used to pay personnel that has come from the ministry, and very little has in the area of human resources of the Guarani people have been taken into account. This has not allowed for the progress in this process. Hence, we are very concerned. According to a decree, the ministerial plan through to last year in December has already expired. But we insist that it should continue. There should be a second phase of the plan that responds to the needs for comprehensive and holistic development of the Guarani people. I say this because all activities, production, land, health, education, all of this has been launched, perhaps, but there are many products that have been lost because of the slowness and the poor administration that has come with or through these officials at the ministry. I should also like to note that the rights to consultation and participation are being violated. We are living in a time in which the plurinational government of Bolivia speaks out against capitalism, but they continue to sign agreements and treaties and contracts that directly affect the Guarani people. we are seeing that many of our brothers in Tarija are consuming polluted waters from the rivers, creeks, and wells and springs. This is a violation and abuse of rights. We do not see the show of good conscience that would lead to consultation with the Guarani people. Hence, we are calling for the implementation of Convention 169 of the ILO and the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. We call upon the UN, we call upon international institutions to comply and support the implementation of the reorganization of lands, this, so that we can implement our laws on the restitution of lands, of community lands, in order to ensure the restitution of Guarani lands. Second, in compliance with Convention 169 of the ILO and the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, Article 7.3, there should be a call to the plurinational state of Bolivia, the UN, and international organizations to eradicate all forms of servitude and forced labor of the Guarani people in the Chaco region of Bolivia. Three, as regards the implementation of the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People and Articles 32.2, we call upon the government of the plurinational state of Bolivia, we call upon UN organizations, and we call upon international institutions to proceed with consultation and participation based on free, prior, and informed consent of the Guarani people prior to approving any project that affects our territory and land and natural resources, and especially as regards our social, cultural, economic, and political development. This is what we're calling for at this time. But we also know that all of the that not all of this falls into the responsibility of the government. We have been seen a great deal of conflict between citizens and provincial capitals, and this has greatly harmed the process of development. Lastly, I wish to inform that through the presentation of the report from the Vice Minister, the plan that has just been presented has not been adopted. It would perhaps be a good idea to think about this, because the officials, in order to justify their reports, have attempted to adopt that report and approve it. However, it was not approved. And this came in committee before the Director of the Indigenous Affairs and the Minister of Rural Development. We wish to indicate as much. We would also like to call for continued work through the UN teams . It would be good to hold dialogues with those who oppose this process. This could help prevent servitude and forced labor of children, adults, and the elderly. And this has led to obstacles to dialogue and progress in all of these matters. Thank you very much.
Gracias a usted.
Thank you. We will now hear from the United Nations country team for Bolivia, Mr. Jaime Nadal. Sir, you have the floor. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon. The UN country team for Bolivia has set forth priorities for its work in the country based on the new political constitution of the state and based also on international instruments on human rights and development. Among these, we see support for the process of change set forth in the new constitution of the state and the national development plan. We also see the promotion of peaceful and democratic coexistence through a process of development that ensures human rights for all, men and women alike. There's also support for states' efforts and the society's efforts to ensure a series of economic, political, and social rights for the entire population and in particular for the indigenous peoples. The support from UNDAF was submitted to the UNID to consultation with the Unity Pact, and the totality of the observations and recommendations were incorporated into the same. These concepts are based on the idea of universality of human rights. This is widely accepted in the country through the ratification of international treaties such as CEDAW and the Convention on the Rights of Children and numerous ILO conventions such as 111 and 169, including improvements of domestic legislation. We see this in numerous pieces of legislation on human rights and rights of indigenous peoples. One feature of the current state of affairs in Bolivia is that human rights and the human rights specifically of indigenous peoples are a national priority. For example, the new constitution contains guarantees in human rights, including the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. There is a constitutional recognition of collective rights. This includes incorporation into the Constitution of the indigenous legal systems and the existence of a national human rights plan. As regards the situation of the Wadani people, specifically the Permanent Forum's mission in 2009, has been working in Bolivia, in the Chaco region, since the end of the 70s. For example, the first and successful experiences in intercultural bilingual education with the rural indigenous population and their influence in national public policy come from the Chaco region. Further, the fight against the Chagas disease has been underway in this area for many years. Progress has been made in education, health, basic sanitation and protection, and support for Wadani families, in particular in the Department of Chuquisaca. As has been mentioned previously, the mission of the Permanent Forum arrived in Bolivia in April 2009 in order to know more of the current situation of the rights of the Wadani people, verifying also accusations of forced labor and servitude in Wadani communities in Alto Parapeti and Santa Cruz. The conclusions and recommendations addressed to the government of Bolivia as well as the systems agencies were adopted in the 8th session of the Permanent Forum in May of 2009. The most important of them are as follows. Evidence of servitude in Chaco and serious violations of international treaties ratified by Bolivia. And this comes directly from page 4 of the report. This difficult situation for the Wadani people is also tied to extreme vulnerability in which the majority of the Bolivian indigenous peoples find themselves. The Permanent Forum's mission made a decisive contribution to efforts for the United Nations systems to put greater emphasis on the problem of captive communities in the Wadani people. The UN working in the country offered the national government its support in the drafting of the National Comprehensive Plan for the Development of the Wanani People, the Transitory Interministerial Plan, and within the framework of Convention 169 of the ILO, consultations with the Wanani organizations for their approval. This began with the participation of many agencies. However, as was mentioned earlier, this is a process that has not concluded. Further, the United Nations systems is undertaking an ongoing dialogue with the primary Campesino indigenous and originary organizations such as the CSUTCB, CIDOB, CSCIB, and others, including the APG. Many agencies within the UN system have cooperation agreements with these organizations. As of 2010, there have been activities aimed at institutional strengthening in the joint program for supporting the strengthening of the democratic model in Bolivia and a peace plan. There is also an effort to make sure that through the UNDP there is support of joint work with the campesino organizations and other organizations in order to bring organizational strengthening. UNICEF, UNFPA, and UNIFEM are also working with these organizations in areas that have to do with capacity building for social control in general. In the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, there is specific work on overseeing compliance with human rights in the country, and specifically in the Chaco region. There has been support for the preparation of a report on the situation of the Wanani people. This was submitted at the end of 2008. The ILO, in 2010, plans on undertaking training of national actors. This would include stakeholders such as the state, indigenous organizations, employers, and workers in the area of indigenous rights and fundamental labor rights. This will be undertaken with other organizations. There will also be specific workshops for Chaco together with the Ministry of Labor and the Ombudsman. These will be focused specifically on child labor and forced labor. As regards consultation, the ILO is planning to undertake dissemination among national stakeholders of a document for the practical implementation of the procedures for the consultation and a workshop for the implementation of the same. And ILO will also continue to provide support in labor inspection in Conventions 169, 29, 138, and 182. An area that has seen particular emphasis is that of humanitarian assistance. This includes addressing the drought that has affected Chaco recently. Two interagency missions were undertaken with the government to evaluate damage. The recommendations gave rise to numerous responses from the system coordinated by UNETE with the civil defense in communities in Chaco, in Chuquisaca, Tarija, and Santa Cruz. This initiative, in our opinion, is an example of interagency coordination, was broadened with the support of other international organizations and donor countries. In 2010, we see a mission of the Office of the Resident Coordinator in communities of Alto Parapetí in the region of Camiri. The idea was to provide follow-up on permanent forum recommendations from 2009. It was also aimed at reaffirming the commitment of the system to eradicate servitude of the Wanani people. There was an effort to identify immediate actions needed in that region. Some results of this mission include a dialogue with all involved stakeholders. It also involved the verification of the current situation in some communities in which there has been identification of forced labor, poverty, and vulnerability of the Wanani population, as well as scant and in some cases inexistent health and education services. There's also been an initial identification of specific problems in critical areas for the immediate attention of the UN system, the idea being to support the concrete actions of the states on the central, departmental, and local levels. I'm specifically referring to actions that have to do with the prohibition, the provision, rectifies the interpreter, of basic services of health and education. This mission also looked at strengthening cooperation between the Guarani People's Assembly and the United Nations systems based on a series of agreements that were later signed and that were based on requests from the organizations within the Guaranese People Assembly. I should like to indicate to the Permanent Forum that there is a detailed report that I will not cover right now. This is part of the official documentation of the meeting, and it is available at the website of the Permanent Forum as well. As regards progress in the short-term agenda and proposed work for the future, when we review the actions of the UN country team in Bolivia in the Guarani Chaco, we do see some progress, particularly related to humanitarian assistance. This was an example, as I said, of interagency coordination. We do think that there has been true impact here. There have also been basic services provided and a strengthening of the organization. Our work with these social indigenous organizations and the strengthening of their own capacity is right now very much an absolute priority. However, it is clear that greater efforts must be deployed by the UN system in order to improve the impact on the situations of the Guarani people. We are very aware and we sense the need to correct the current dispersion thematically and geographically of UN services. We should improve this with greater or improved articulation. The UN system is aware of the need that we must increase our presence in the zone, in the area. We also recognize that we must bring better and greater coordination with the state and decentralized institutions on the regional and local levels in order to bring compliance with the rights of the Guarani people. The UN system has begun to identify key areas for actions in the short term that are tied to land and territory, water and production, education, health, and communication. The idea is to identify institutional responsibilities as well as areas where there can be strengthening in the pertinent official government bodies. The idea being to provide concrete responses to specific aspects of the lives of the Guarani people, matters that we believe can be improved in a rather expeditious manner. In addition to responding to these basic needs, there will be also a need to launch labor initiatives with agricultural and livestock sectors and sectoral organizations that have already expressed their interest in working with the United Nations system. The opening up of dialogue to facilitate agreements between stakeholders in Chaco could foster a greater awareness among the business sectors as regards the need to move ahead with the ensuring of labor rights and specifically the ratification of any form of servitude or forced labor in Chaco. The matter of servitude is so very complex that it requires the active participation of all parties involved in this matter. An example of this type of action, we believe, comes in the form of Supreme Decree 0388 of 23 December 2009. It regulates the verification, determination, and confirmation of the existence of relationships of servitude, forced labor, and similar formats. This was agreed upon between the national government and the business sector. The government is making efforts to move ahead with the with these regulations. I should like to conclude by saying that all actions of the United Nations systems aimed at favoring dialogue on this delicate matter are being subjected to consultation with the Guarani indigenous organizations and coordinated with the government bodies. The role of the United Nations system has been, is, and will be that of promoting, facilitating, and supporting these processes and their implementation. The results will depend in the end on the will and agreement of all involved parties, and we are committed to making this so. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ahora damos la palabra.
Now we give the floor to Vice Minister Felix Cardenas to respond to the questions asked. Thank you, sir.
Se refiere a las normas.
Now I'm referring to the norms regarding the right to be consulted. The Bolivian government has enshrined the rights of indigenous peoples in its constitution. This was approved during the constitutional representative of the 27th of January, 2009. That law was approved on the 7th of February. We have other laws as well, the laws on hydrocarbons, Law 338 of 2005, and also we have an entire chapter that was added regarding the rights of indigenous peoples and the Decree 29033 has the objective of laying down procedures for consultative and participatory procedures for indigenous peoples and for peasant communities. We wish to develop as activities in terms of exploiting, for example, coal mines in their country of origin. Decree 29575 of the 21st of May 2008 deals with changes and amplifying the rules for consultation and participation for hydrocarbon activities. And these are various decrees which we find and various provisions in the relevant laws and in the Constitution which ensure the rights to be consulted in advance. Regarding the question of the police, we also have here an administrative decision that was taken and a ministerial decision, in particular regarding Chaco and in Yacuiba and in the Tarrayo department. And administrative arrangements are still provisional, but they fall directly under general command. The idea is one of developing ongoing, permanent, and effective and comprehensive services throughout the Chaco region for Tarua, Chiquisaj, and Santa Cruz with the various communities involved. Regarding the agrarian reform, Bolivia has been able to obtain now here more than 1,647,934 hectares, the right to them as lands which are communities for the peoples of origin there, for Guarani communities. This process is still concluding, and the land measuring and surveying process is continuing. We are now involved in evaluating and assessing these figures. We also have, for example, the Itane, Intel Pilcomayo, and Nakapuku. We are trying once and for all to put an end to this situation. We are involved in another process in addition for improving the agrarian situation in the mountainous areas and for agrarian regions in the Andacilis process in Chupacabra. The National Institution for Agrarian Reform has stated that the fact that this problem has not been resolved means that in these areas, and there are seven of them, until today, the final resolutions regarding agrarian reform and improvement are still being worked on, and this is now up before the National Tribunal and the courts. The tribunal must take a stand here and indicate the present state of affairs here. Then we deal with improvements here for agrarian property. We are now trying to provide for 83,833 hectares, and we are also trying to work on the various services for construction, for housing in the region of Chaco, and we're also dealing with telephone service, both landlines and mobile, and we are trying to implement telecommunications centers both in indigenous villages and in other rural areas. The major question here, and the most important one, as I said in my initial statement, is that of the judicial processes. And this goes back to the founding of Bolivia. This is an organization of juridical system meeting economic interests, the interests also of large bosses and landowners. But the Bolivian government has appointed now judges and magistrates who, until December 2010, were in office, and it is in December that we will have a total renewal of the entire judiciary administration in the country, involving all of the relevant elements. A bill was also issued to try and fill existing vacancies and to step up the processes which have been languishing for years now. This is the first time that the people of Bolivia will be able, by a vote, to take a stand on which it wishes to see in terms of its own administration of justice. Right now, in the neoliberal and colonial states, the administrators for justice and the Supreme Court, the Constitutional Court, were appointed by the deputies and by the senators in accordance with various interests, the interests existing among them. This is now the first time that the Bolivian people in December will in fact be electing its own officials for justice. Regarding the Vice Minister for Decolonization, it is up to him to establish the outline and the prerequisites for those who wish to become members of the Constitutional Court and the Supreme Court. We have proposed, inter alia, a candidacy for lawyers. They must not have acted for, they must not have defended drug dealers. They must not be involved in any issues of separatism. This is a question which was a major one in our country, and we are working towards those ends now. It is indeed our hope that the people of Bolivia will elect its administrators to the judicial system and its officials, and will be able then to deal with everything dealing with agrarian reform and the rest. Regarding education, the Ministry of Education supports municipal authorities and in financing the building of the infrastructure. In addition, it is furnishing schools, and conventions have been signed with 9 municipal authorities in the geographical area in which the Guarani people reside. This is planned for 2010, and these are municipalities, several of them, which we intend to include here. All of the concerns shown can be found here in the document which we have provided and which contains our answers. We must take note in particular of what was stated by our brother, Mr. Padilla, who is the president of the Assembly of the Guarani People. We share his concerns. Above all, as the minister and vice minister, from these who are ourselves from these indigenous people, we share their concerns, and in addition, we are committing ourselves to working quickly from a different angle on all of these problems. And for all of those who have been working at the UN, we would say that we wish to encourage national policies within the constitutional framework of the state, in particular regarding indigenous peoples. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Minister. We have heard from the government of Bolivia, as well as of the representatives of the Guarani people. This has been a very important experience, that is to say, having undertaken our visit in Bolivia. And as we will certainly see regarding the part of Chaco that is in Paraguay, the Guarani indigenous people are living a very serious situation. And the Guarani People Assembly has indicated that despite the will of the government of Bolivia, there are still problems. There has been a process of reorganization of the territorial lands of the Guarani people. However, there have been challenges to this in the agrarian tribunal, and as a result of this, the climate is sometimes of greater uncertainty and insecurity for the brothers of the Guarani people. So we would urge the UN system, President of the country, and also the government of Bolivia to further join efforts aimed at recognizing the rights of the Guarani people, also complying with the restitution of Guarani lands, this being a goal of the government of Bolivia. Thank you very much. According to our agenda, we will now immediately move to invite the Vice Minister Carlos Maria Aquino Lopez, the Vice Minister of Justice and Human Rights of the Ministry of Justice and Labor in Paraguay. We ask him to come to the podium. Thank you, Mr. Vice Minister. Thank you, the Permanent Forum, responding to a petition or a request from the government of Paraguay, undertook a multi-agency mission together with the ILO, UNDP, and the FAO in Asunción and Philadelphia in 2009 in order to verify reports of forced labor and servitude among Guarani peoples, drafting proposals and recommendations for ensuring that the fundamental freedoms and rights of the indigenous people be respected. After the mission, the Permanent Forum prepared a report with recommendations for the government of Paraguay during the 8th session of the Permanent Forum. That forum decided to publish the document as an official document of the forum, a summary of the report, which includes all of the recommendations, is an official document of the Permanent Forum in its 9th session. During the 8th session, the forum also urged the United Nations country team to follow up on the recommendations in the report, suggesting also that the government of Paraguay report on the implementation of those recommendations. The government of Paraguay prepared a report for the ninth session, A stroke C, point 2009 stroke 2010, or rather 2010 stroke 12 stroke add 2. A decision was made to participate in a dialogue with the Permanent Forum to continue to consider the implementation of the Permanent Forum's recommendations. We welcome the participation of the government of Paraguay in today's dialogue. The Permanent Forum has put together questions based on the recommendations from the country team. We are very pleased also to have the resident coordinator of the country team, Mr. Lorenzo Jimenez de Luis, present. The Paraguay country team also presented a very detailed report on its activities aimed at supporting the Permanent Forum's recommendations. We are very happy to have with us today the president of the Coordinator for the Self-Determination of Indigenous Peoples, Mr. Apolito Acevedo. He will also participate in today's dialogue. I thank all of you. So moving along with our agenda, I will now give the floor to the first of our speakers for this component. Vice Minister, you have the floor. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, delegates. Thank you to the members of the Permanent Forum and the President of the Supreme Court of Paraguay, who is with us today. To one and all, I thank you for the opportunity for my country to report to the forum on progress that's been made in attaining the objectives set forth by our national government as are related to the topic that brings us here today. Our country has taken due note of the comments and recommendations made by the multi-agency mission of the Permanent Forum in April of 2009. I should also like to underscore that this is a matter that has been addressed in the high circles of the national government. The President of the Republic, Fernando Lugo Mendes, has confirmed his commitment in matters tied to human rights on the day he took office. And this led to the signing of Decree 1730. And this reorganized and lifted the hierarchy of the Vice Ministry of Justice, adding the matter of coordinating the work in the area of human rights. The Republic of Paraguay has put together a plan of action for human rights 2010-2011. On strategic point number 2, the strengthening of the promotion and protection of the rights of indigenous peoples, this matter was covered. And also in strategic objective number 8, we reiterate that there was a visit from the Special Rapporteur on Indigenous Matters, James Anaya. Today, we'll be informing on the progress that has been made since the current administration took office. This reflects the country's commitment to providing practical solutions in these areas. In September of 2008, with then Minister of Justice and Labor, Blas Llano, and the Vice Minister of Labor and Social Security, Dr. Raul Mongelos, and Mr. Guillermo Perez of the ILO for the Southern Cone, and Ms. Margarita Migbewangi, President of the Paraguayan Institute for the Indigenous, inaugurated a regional office for labor in Chaco. This has brought together the authorities with the social stakeholders, employers and workers. In February of 2009, the President of the Republic, Fernando Lugo Mendes, then Minister Blas Llano, and the representatives of the main workers and employers organizations signed an ILO agreement, or rather signed an agreement with the support of the ILO. It was referred to as the National Program for Decent Work. This program is a tripartite initiative. It shows the will of the social stakeholders and the government to give priority to social dialogue and joint action in attaining results of national interest. This shows the willingness of the different sectors in Paraguay to overcome the social and labor challenges in the country. The new authorities attach a great importance to achieving greater compliance with labor norms. Important steps have already been made. The program for decent work has been has established the improvement of these matters as a priority, seeking to focus on fundamental freedoms in labor and the effective application thereof. Focus has been on numerous areas, including the eradication of forced labor, hoping to create a special commission that will put together a plan of action, and aimed at holding this tripartite view on the matter, the Ministry of Justice and Labor has sent notes to all public institutions, labor unions, and trade guilds and employers' associations in order to make sure each one of them send representatives to the creation of this commission. In March of 2009, the Minister of Justice and Labor issued Resolution 230. This creates the Commission for Fundamental Labor Rights and Prevention of Forced Labor. This includes representatives of different public sector institutions, workers' unions, and employers' associations. The Ministry of Justice and Labor in July signed a cooperation agreement with the Rural Association of Paraguay. This began the process of ensuring that those working in livestock are covered by labor laws and social security, and to ensure also that they are in the Ministry of Justice and Labor's worker registries. The Ministry of Justice and Labor has also undertaken labor inspections in Chaco. This was undertaken in February and October, the idea being to focus on decent work in the countryside. That was the name of the operations. This process has included the valuable cooperation of the ILO. The ILO has provided international experience in this matter, and further, the ILO has cooperated in a number of different logistical and training aspects. The commission created to this end was trained on these matters, and it was suggested that this training also be provided to employers and workers alike. In this way, everyone will be aware of their rights. The Commission on Fundamental Rights and the Prevention of Forced Labor has held awareness-raising seminars and dissemination activities. Two of these were held in Chaco. This was undertaken with the support of the regional offices, labor offices, on 13 May and 9 October 2009. The Commission has held specific meetings in 2009 on 1 April, 14 May, 11 August, and 18 December in the city of Asunción. The result of these meetings has been a plan of action for addressing this matter. The plan of action includes the following topics. First, a day for awareness raising among the employers. This was held on 21 September. The primary employers' associations were invited, FEPRINCO, UIP, and ARP. They all participated. The training of labor inspectors, number two. These efforts were held on 5, 6, and 7 October 2009 in the Ministry of Justice and Labor. The seminars were entitled Seminar for Training in Labor Inspectors on Hygiene, Occupational Safety, Public Transportation Oversight, and Passengers. This was also held in Asunción and in regional offices. Those civil servants that attended were trained, and they were also They also received information and manuals for labor inspectors. This came from the ILO. All participants received a certificate that accredits their participation. In these activities, we have had the support of Mr. Luis Machado from the ILO Office for Combating Forced Labor in Brazil, with headquarters in Brasilia. This has allowed us to learn from the Brazilian experience in this matter. Item 3, inspection of rural establishments. For the first time, the Paraguayan state has undertaken inspections in rural installations in the Paraguayan Chaco region. We saw this in October of 2009. This provided information. This was a practical application of the knowledge and training gained by the labor inspectors. There's also an investigation, research into discrimination and indigenous women. A specialist was contracted, and there has been a draft for this project already submitted to the ILO. Awareness raising among society. We have organized dissemination efforts for society. The goal is to raise awareness among society regarding the matter of forced labor and how to address it. To this end, a campaign on the radio was undertaken by the Puku broadcasters, and this was broadcast throughout September in 2009 in the Nivacle and Guarani languages. Sixth, there was a second seminar in Chaco. This involved different stakeholders, indigenous peoples, union leaders, employers, organizations. The idea being to look at progress and also to look at basic concepts contained in Conventions 29 and 105 and 169 to strengthen the state's presence in the regional office as well. This On 8 and 9 October, there were 57 people present, as well as specialists from Chile and Brazil. We are publishing currently documents that contain the text of Convention 169 on Indigenous and Tribal Peoples. This convention has been ratified by our country. This will be published in Spanish, Guarani, and Nivacle, and it has the support of the ILO. As you can note, the commission that we've created has had fruitful efforts throughout this year and plans to do so in the years ahead. The commission is enriched with the contributions of all participants, men and women alike, as well as international experience in this matter provided to us by the ILO. We should also like to note that we know we have a long road ahead of us, and for this we need the support of each one of the members of the Commission and society, so that our institutions, our unions, our labor, our employer associations can work together toward social justice and decent work for all men and women alike. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Vice Minister. Continuing with our speakers list, we will now give the floor to the representatives of the Guarani people of Paraguay, Mr. Hipólito and Hilaria Cruzabe, who are here with us today. Hipólito, sir, you have the floor.
Gracias, Presidente. Disculpe la demora.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, members of the Permanent Forum,
representatives here present, my name is Hipólito Acerbe. I am here with the coordinator for the self-determination of indigenous people of Paraguay. This is a body put together by 14 organizations, 14 groups of Guarani people. There are some 20,000 indigenous individuals of Paraguay in several regions of Paraguay.
Histórico en el seno de la nación.
today we are celebrating this historic occasion in the headquarters of the United Nations, especially in the space of the Permanent Forum, for the first dialogue with two governments. In our case, the Republic of Paraguay, and particularly in the context of the special theme of indigenous peoples' development with culture and identity, Article 3 and 32 of the Declaration of the United Nations on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and the subtheme of human rights.
También mencionar el esfuerzo que
also, we note the efforts that the government of my country is making, in this case the executive branch, in recognizing in full the constituted indigenous organizations, and we value the space that provides an opening for the reconstruction of societies based on rights. Nevertheless, Mr. Chairman, we still consider a significant challenge in this important step that is given by the forum. We signal, then, that this dialogue is the positive result of the working visit of the honorable members of the permanent mission carried out in the month of April 2009, headed by the then-president, Ms. Vicky Taulis Corpus, who deserves our respect and gratitude, as well as the other members of the forum. This visit of the forum has urgently motivated the current government of my country to search for solutions to the delicate and negative social situation of the Guarani and other indigenous peoples of Paraguay, resulting from violations of national and international law due to the existence of forced labor, human slavery, exploitation of children, inadequate conditions of work for men and women, deprivation of our ancestral territories, lands, and resources, restrictions on the freedom of association and labor unions, the weak presence of the state, the lack of free access to health, and the permanent critical situation of insecurity regarding food and other public services. I wonder, sir, is this a system of slavery? All of this was discussed on the occasion of the visit with the forum members and in the meetings carried out with indigenous people and their communities, as well as with representatives from government institutions, the private sector, and workers. This official visit of the permanent forum in Paraguay was indeed opportune, and it has already submitted well-accepted recommendations about Paraguay during its eighth period of sessions carried out by the forum in May of 2009. These considerations and recommendations were welcomed by our indigenous organizations in Paraguay in light of the importance that the government take into consideration its duties and obligations to comply with national and international law, including the UN Declaration, which affirms the rights of indigenous peoples, including their rights to territories, lands, and resources, to self-determination, and to free, prior, and informed consent for all activities that may affect them. Thus, we highlight the need for the government to comply with the recommendations of the forum and take the necessary measures to. What we request is that the government take the measures necessary to ensure the integral strengthening of state institutions in the Chaco region of Paraguay and to end the restrictions on the right to territory and lands of indigenous peoples to guarantee the food security of our people. End discrimination, ensure the review and perfection of all property titles of indigenous communities, guarantee cooperation and strategic transboundary lines for the protection of indigenous peoples, compliance with national and international norms, and respect for the obligatory nature of the juridical principles of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, in particular, Articles 3 and 32, as well as the parallel provisions of the ILO Convention 169, ratified by Paraguay through Law 234/93, including Article 17 regarding labor rights. Recommendations. Based on the considerations explained above, we once again call on the government of the Republic of Paraguay to put in place initiatives and to strengthen these initiatives for coordination with the organizations and communities of indigenous peoples. And in so doing, Mr. President, we recommend to the Permanent Forum that it continue with its efforts to encourage the government of the Republic of Paraguay to submit to the Permanent Forum at each of its period of sessions a report of the advances it has made to demonstrate its compliance with the recommendations of the Forum, including a report on how it is securing the traditional territories and lands of indigenous peoples. That request that the government of Paraguay formulate a common strategy between the legislative and executive branches for the immediate eradication of the causes of poverty of indigenous peoples, and particularly for the defense of the Guarani and Ayoreo people who are living in isolation and who are being subject to forced contact through the uncontrolled and systematic deforestation and the advance of monocultivation that does nothing else but contaminate the environment that sustains the indigenous peoples, as well as activities conducted without consultation or consent of indigenous peoples who are affected for ranchers, such as the Agoreto y Porace Company, as well as some conservationists who are seeking a source of carbon for free trading. Following up on the actions of international financial institutions that support projects of all types in our territories, including conservation projects carried out in the name of climate change. Given the special theme of this session, development with culture and identity, I take this opportunity here to inform you that in Paraguay, we recently stopped a project of the Inter-American Development Bank for the conservation of the natural patrimony of the Great Chaco, which was being implemented without complying with the requirements for consultation and free, prior, and informed consent of the peoples concerned. This project was put aside without any effect as a result of the indigenous position and was recently canceled. As a result, the IDB should guarantee that in the future it will count with the full and effective participation of indigenous peoples in initiating the design of whatever new project it undertakes in the Chaco with the objective of respecting the rights of indigenous peoples at all phases of the project. 4. Recommend to the government that it comply with the rights established in Article 32 of the UN Declaration in the context of whatever state license is granted permitting the exploitation, prospecting, and exploration prior to exploitation of any hydrocarbons in indigenous territories, and especially in the Guarani and people and Chaco. And finally, sir, requests the state of Paraguay to take the necessary measures to effectively comply with and apply Articles 3 and 4 of the UN Declaration without minimizing its compliance with the rest of the Declaration. Allow me, sir, to express our deepest gratitude to Mr. Lorenzo Jimenez de Luis, UN Resident Representative to Paraguay, for his constant interest in supporting indigenous initiatives, such as, for example, the drafting of the document on public policies for indigenous peoples, which was the first translation of the UN Declaration in Guarani. And now, so far there has been no answer. And we have had our first translation of the UN Declaration in Guarani, and the funding of the Community Study and Mapping Project by the MBY Guarani of their ancestral territory, known as Tecua Grasa. which was declared a protected area, the San Rafael National Park, without their consultation or consent. We also thank the Spanish Agency of International Development Cooperation of Paraguay for its ongoing support of the causes of indigenous peoples in Paraguay and others. And finally, we wish to thank the Tribal Link Foundation and the Encomiendo Foundation of Sweden, and these together have been supporting our participation in this ninth period of sessions of the Permanent Forum. We thank you, Mr. Chairman, and are very grateful.
Gracias, señor Acevedo.
Thank you, Mr. Acevedo. Continuing with our speakers list, we will now give the floor to our colleague, Tonio Gonilla. Mr. Gonilla. Ms. Gonilla.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and also thank you to the Vice Minister for your very helpful report. Thank you, sir. I will be asking a few questions and directing those questions to you, Mr. Vice Minister. My first question has to do with the exercise of self-determination. There are a number of new initiatives currently underway in Paraguay to organize the efforts of indigenous peoples, their right to exercise self-determination. And my question is, should this principle of self-determination also be prioritized in terms of the reorganization of political institutions? In this regard, it is noted that Section V refers to indigenous participation and representation. The next two questions that I will present have to do with land. The fact that much of the land claimed by indigenous peoples is held by private owners makes this task quite difficult, as there are currently only two mechanisms for dealing with such lands: expropriation for reasons of public interest and purchase. My first question is, is there a procedure by means of which the government can prove indigenous title to land, which can then be recovered without the possibility of expropriation or purchase? Is it possible that through expropriation or by purchase, compensation is being provided for a non-indigenous title that could be illegitimate or have been obtained via usurping of an indigenous title? Could the same effect be achieved by reviewing and revising land titles for the expeditious recovery of indigenous lands? Second question. Land purchases are carried out directly by INDI on the basis of claims, legal proceedings, and lastly, negotiation with private owners. In 2009, INDI dispersed an amount of 19 billion guaranis for the acquisition of land. This amount is appropriated through the national budget. The same amount has been appropriated to the INDI for 2010, and it has therefore begun the process of establishing selection criteria for the beneficiary communities in 2010. The question is, it is unclear the budget described is sufficient. Could another possibility for its use by that INDI introduce into negotiations with private owners, holders of lands claimed by indigenous peoples? The argument that their land title may be precarious due to it having been acquired via usurpation, if the right to compensation is recognized for such landowners based not on market price but rather compensation from the state for the improper recognition of title on indigenous land, perhaps there could be a significant reduction in the cost of operation for the public budget. The next question, Mr. Vice Minister, has to do with interagency commission. In 2008 and 2009, several decrees were adopted concerning indigenous peoples. including Decree Number 1595, establishing an interagency commission for the enforcement of judgments of the Inter-American Court of Human Rights and the recommendations of the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. The question is, please provide details regarding the work carried out by the commission. The next question has to do with ILO Convention number 169. And I do note your report concerning the tripart agreement that you have already established. In addition, together with Convention 169, Title 6 of the Code of Criminal Procedure, which is Act Number 3440 of your domestic law, stipulates the procedure for punishable acts relating to indigenous peoples. The question, sir, is, are the provisions of the Code of Criminal Procedure in Title 6, Procedure for Offenses Related to Indigenous Peoples, consistent with the provisions of Convention 169? Does the procedure envisioned under Article 434.1 of the Criminal Procedure Code comply with the ILO Convention's acknowledgement of indigenous customary law? Does the substitution of culture of ethnicity for customary law undermine the understanding of the indigenous party? Does this undermine the procedural position of the indigenous party? The next question relates to the right of self-determination. INDI, created by the Statute of the Indigenous Communities of 1981, is the lead agency for indigenous policy in Paraguay. Its mission is therefore extremely important and needs to be adapted to current needs within the framework of state reform. The question is, does the position of INDI with regard to the right of self-determination of indigenous peoples correspond to that recognized in the report of the government of Paraguay? The next question, Mr. Vice Minister, refers to conflict resolution. Thanks to the work of this department, the Ethnic Rights Department, many inter- and intra-ethnic conflicts have been satisfactorily resolved through the implementation of indigenous customary law, thereby avoiding cultural alienation and penitentiary institutions. The question is, should the Ethnic Rights Department undergo a transformation similar to that of INDI? With regard to resolving conflicts outside of criminal proceedings, how are strictly judicial powers defined? How are the rights of the indigenous party or party raised before this administrative venue? What role has the Ethnic Rights Department played to date regarding the interests of communities and indigenous people of the Chaco? The next question has to do with law enforcement agencies. In accordance with their constitutional jurisdiction, the government of Paraguay must ensure the integrity of law enforcement agencies, prosecutors, and courts through the enforcement of strict oversight mechanisms pertaining to conflict of interest. Police forces in the Chaco region should be led by officers that will remain neutral in carrying out their official duties. And the question posed is, please provide further information on the measures taken in this regard. The next question is in reference to education and indigenous children. The mission notes that the Ministry of Education and Culture is undertaking important initiatives to improve education opportunities for indigenous children. The government of Paraguay must also address the barriers that indigenous children face in enrolling and attending schools. expand education services, and provide adequate budgetary allocation to ensure education for all. The question, sir, is education of the children should be a central focus when human rights are being implemented. Please provide further information on the measures taken with special regard to Indigenous children. And I know you did note in your report a special reference to women and children. And lastly, Mr. Vice Minister, a comment in reference to the governments of Paraguay and Bolivia should cooperate and share promising practices with regard to the elimination of forced labor of indigenous peoples in the Chaco regions of each country. The development of a cross-border program for the protection of indigenous peoples of the Chaco should be considered. The question, sir, the indigenous peoples of the region might benefit from a binding arrangement between Paraguay and Bolivia, where the rights of the peoples are laid down irrespective of whether they live on one side of the state border or the other. Such a cross-border convention is now being considered by the three Nordic countries concerning the rights of the Sami people living in these states. The three Sami parliaments have all voted in favor of such a draft convention. Would the government of Paraguay consider engaging in such an arrangement? Thank you very much, Mr. Vice Minister and Mr. Chairman.
Muchas gracias.
Our thanks to Ms. Gonella. We will now continue with our speakers list. We'll now give the floor to Mr. Lorenzo Jimenez de Luis. He is the resident coordinator of the country team of the United Nations in Paraguay. Sir, you have the floor.
Gracias, señor.
Thank you, Mr. President, for providing this opportunity for me to address the Permanent Forum for Indigenous Affairs on behalf of the United Nations Organization in Paraguay. We value the government's invitation for the forum to carry on its mission during 2009. In that sense, we agree with the recommendations presented in the mission report, and we renew our commitment to support the efforts of the government, the indigenous peoples, the United Nations, and other strategic actors to face the following problems. One, the existence of forced labor and other forms of exploitation of indigenous men and women, as well as indigenous child labor, and the need to develop a strategic plan for its eradication. Second, the critical life conditions, territory, habitat, and food security of the indigenous peoples, with special emphasis on problems of maternal and child mortality. Three, the strengthening of the government's role regarding the right to previous consultation, as well as the right to land, dignified life conditions, and protection against child forced labor. And four, the necessity to give specific attention to the grave situation of boys and girls in the workforce, as well as that of indigenous women in domestic service, including better dissemination of information regarding these particular issues. At the same time, Mr. President, we recognize the government's progress in improving the situation of indigenous peoples. And here, inter alia, we would like to point out the inclusion of indigenous peoples' affairs as a priority issue in its social policy through policies coordinated from the Social Ministry and under the leadership of the Paraguayan Institute for Indigenous People, INDI, in the framework of Public Policy for Social Development Proposal 2010 to 2020, Paraguay for All. The formation of the Commission for Labor Rights and Forced Labor Prevention. The creation of instances specialized in indigenous peoples' issues within public institutions, whose coordinated work is crucial in improving the government's efficiency in promoting the inclusion of indigenous peoples, men, women, and children, and indigenous peoples. achievements related to national statistics that must be continued, strengthened, and expanded, encouraging the participation of all administrative levels, including diversity, awareness, and non-discrimination. Efforts toward the restitution of land to the indigenous peoples for its tight link with the right to a dignified life and decent work, as well as economic, social, and cultural rights of indigenous peoples, with special emphasis on the urgent cases of the Yaka'aksa and Sahoyamaksa communities. In addition, Mr. President, I would like to thank the Permanent Forum for the recommendations that it has presented to the United Nations Organization in Paraguay. Here, it is important to point out that the country team has supported the government and civil societies through actions such as, 1, the visualization of the situation of indigenous peoples, including indigenous children and women, 2, the elaboration of statistical information and other studies regarding indigenous peoples, 3, the definition of a more inclusive social policy, one that defines indigenous peoples as a priority issue, 4, the strengthening of indigenous organizations, as well as the leadership of indigenous men and women, besides South-South cooperation. 5, the development of capacities related to public functioning in issues such as discrimination and indigenous peoples. And 6, the strengthening of the INDI as an instance for coordination and administration. The organization, in addition, has also supported the implementation of the Law for Indigenous Education 320-231-07, the Health Policy for Indigenous Peoples, the Program for the Attention of Indigenous Working Children Living in Urban Spaces, Planal and PROAM in Indigenous Contexts, the Program for Water Provision and Sanitation in Indigenous Communities of SENASA, and the elaboration of the Plan for Gender Equality and No Discrimination of the Secretariat for Public Function with training related to non-discriminatory practices in attention paid to Indigenous Peoples. Furthermore, to strengthen the coordinated actions of the country team of the United Nations in Paraguay, we have created the Interagency Group on Indigenous Populations as a tool to continue working together and in a specific way to implement the recommendations of the Permanent Forum. Thus, for example, to address the situation of the Chaco, that group has activated the response mechanism to emergencies to support the National Emergency Secretariat, in addition to the implementation of projects on water and sanitation in Chaco. Moreover, with the leadership of the ILO, we have supported the Ministry of Justice and Labor in the creation of the Labor Bureau in Central Chaco and the formation of the Commission on Basic Labor Rights and the Prevention of Forced Labor. In addition, we have articulated a series of initiatives with the aim of strengthening the state's policies, as well as to increase information and training related to indigenous peoples, and agencies have worked together to support the dissemination, knowledge, and application of Agreement 169, in particular its relation to the right to previous consultation. Although, Mr. President, much has been achieved through the above-mentioned initiatives, we realize that a great deal still lies ahead. For this, Mr. President, the country team of the United Nations in Paraguay is ready to face the following challenges. 1, to position the issues of indigenous peoples and forced labor even firmly on its agenda. 2, to support the government, especially its inspection, control, and protection divisions, to increase their presence in Chaco and in areas where forced labor has been detected. 3, collaborate with the institutional actors of Chaco Central, and especially with leaders of the Mennonite colonies and the Paraguayan Rural Association, in the application of Agreements 169, 105, 29, and in the application of laws related to indigenous peoples. 4, strengthen the capacities and initiatives of local governments, civil society, and especially of indigenous organizations, including the dissemination of recommendations made by the Permanent Forum. 5, expand the dialogue links and functioning of the state's instances with indigenous peoples. 6, promote efforts toward a culture of non-discrimination based on gender, ethnic, age, or any other condition, as well as the dissemination of inclusive messages in the media and in institutional communication strategies. And 7, increase awareness of the phenomenon of forced labor, taking into account diversity perspectives and non-discrimination. I conclude, Mr. President, by pointing out that our organization, that is the Organization of United Nations in Paraguay, wishes to continue benefiting from the guidance and advice of this permanent forum and to continue collaborating with all of the actors involved so that the problems we have noted above here will be positively tackled and eliminated as quickly as possible. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lorenzo Jimenez de Luis. We now give the floor to the Madam Vice, to the Vice Minister, so that he may respond to the questions. We do not have a great deal of time. Mr. Vice Minister, you have the floor. I think that I perhaps could take a bit much more time now, since my first remarks were rather brief. I should first like to respond to all of the concerns expressed as regards the questions. Our law on Indigenous peoples has restructured and has put together a plan with the UNDP. INDI establishes that this that there will be a 2010 process through 2020 aimed at these matters. At this point, the representative of Indigenous Matters will be working to build with the Indigenous communities, or rather to study with the Indigenous communities, those modalities chosen by the Indigenous peoples in the framework of their cultural formats and with prior consultation. There will be participation from the National Federation of Guarani People, and these plans will move forward. There will be Indigenous professionals involved. We already have Indigenous in the peoples in the legal profession, and we are seeking to ensure that there are numerous different university studies that include and cover judicial and legal matters. As regards lands, in step with provisions in Paraguay, we see that the national constitution and the statute of Indigenous peoples and the that there will be lands, state lands provided for Indigenous peoples with the agrarian reform, working with our institutes that work in these matters. These are not, however, ancestral lands. Currently, we are undertaking research and studies in order to recover unused ill-gotten land taken from Indigenous peoples. This responds to the Truth and Justice Committee, in which we have seen testimonies from Indigenous peoples. The conclusions of the commission have been implemented through the General Truth and Justice and Reparation Office within the Ombudsman's fold. This began in May of this year. The Prosecutor General's Office created a special unit for the recovery of land and the return of this land to the Indigenous peoples, this in the way of reparations. This unit has already begun its work. Further, work is underway on the National Land Registry so that all land comes with a title. This land registry will help to reorganize and clean the titles on lands. This will also allow for land surveying and other matters tied to land taken from Indigenous peoples. The Constitution sets forth for inviolability of private property. No one can have their land taken from them unless it is for a social utility, and this will be determined on a case-by-case basis. The law will cover just indemnization that will be established by the judicial system, and this will all be done in step with the provisions of domestic legislation. There's no other mechanism for expropriation other than by congressional decision with the support of both chambers. Article 27 of our Law on Indigenous Peoples of 1991 provides that in the case of expropriation, the procedure and indemnity will be in step with provisions of the Constitution and legislation, and that resources will be provided in the general budget of the Republic for redress. In addition to the budget for INDE, for our institute, INDER has its own budget, and it will coordinate with INDE the purchase of lands for Indigenous peoples. The budget, full budget, was used in 2008 and 2009 for the purchase of Indigenous lands, and this will be increased as funds become available in the general state budget. For private land to be determined to have been illegally taken, there must be a sentence from the Prosecutor General's office. Then there's a procedure in the INDER. There is a rural or agrarian land registry that will support the claims. The system for negotiation always is launched by an administrative claim before INDER. Generally, in a context of expropriation, all possible elements are included to cover these matters. There have been many agreements reached in which not all Indigenous communities were able to be benefited. 70% have already received titles for their lands. Of this 70%, 60% are calling for a broadening or extension of their lands. The Interinstitutional Commission, which is responsible for the actions aimed at complying with international rulings from the Inter-American Human Rights Court and the recommendations from the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, have been meeting since May of 2009. They've been meeting regularly, with at least two meetings per month, in order to comply with the objective set forth. The representatives of state offices have had on-site visits in cases that involve Indigenous individuals. As regards cases that involve Indigenous communities, as the Commission addresses other cases as well, I would mention the following. There's the ruling from the the Soyamaxa community. This is currently before the Inter-American Human Rights Court. There's the Samokakset community with a friendly settlement with the Commission and the petitioners. And there is the Kamilyamake community's case as well in the Commission. In these cases, the Commission has supported compliance with the recommendations and the rulings, specifically references made to food security, health, education, financial redress, opening of roads, documentation, etc. As regards the restitution of lands claimed by the communities, a sub-working group has been created to look at land acquisition, bearing in mind the last rejection of expropriation in the case of the Aksa community in 2009. This subgroup began its activities in March of this year, 2010, and has made a concrete land offer to the petitioners. This is currently being reviewed by the community. We have not lost track of the claims of the other communities. The state is currently undertaking efforts in finding the most expeditious legal solution to satisfy the rulings, agreements, and commitments made by the Republic of Paraguay. This commission is currently in a preliminary hearing before the Inter-American Human Rights Court, trying to find a friendly solution to the claims from the El Chaco communities. The Prosecutor General is seeking to address these cases before the Inter-American Human Rights Court and the Inter-American Human Rights Commission on the recovery of lands. The executive branch has adopted the emblematic plan, which will benefit numerous projects with special budget allocations. This includes ethno-development. This is a priority. Payment for land will be allocated, and this matter is being addressed by the Inter-American Human Rights Court and the and this includes Soayamaxa Access and Moka Sect and others. The project for 2010 looks at the acquisition of 49,000 hectares and for 2013 a great deal more for indigenous communities. The Ministry of Justice and Labor, in a decision in March 2009, put together the Commission on Fundamental Rights in Work and the Prevention of Forced Labor. This commission has representation from INDE. In the last meeting, in December of 2009, a suggestion was also made to include representatives from the indigenous groups. This will be done throughout the course of this year. This commission has held 5 meetings in 2009. Initially, the commission received training from the ILO on the matter of forced labor throughout the world. They have benefited from experiences in countries such as Peru and Brazil. The commission has put together a plan of action that includes all activities undertaken with the ongoing support of the ILO. Currently, there is a dissemination or publication in Nivacle and Guarani of Convention 169 of the ILO, as is publication being published on discrimination and indigenous women. These documents will be disseminated this year with the support of the ILO. Constitutionally, it is the role of the public ministry to ensure the respect for the constitutional rights of society. As regards indigenous peoples, the public ministry has made modifications to its organizational structure in order to ensure the effective compliance with current legal provisions in this area. They have done this through their ethnicity division aimed at ensuring rights ensured in the Constitution. There has been training for different civil servants when it comes to addressing conflicts that affect indigenous individuals and that fall within the jurisdiction of the Ministry of Justice. All public ministry activities will ensure the proper application of the law, including customary law of the indigenous peoples. Recognition of indigenous customary law does not go against the state legislation, but rather they can coexist. Customary law is a matter of that is addressed by way of the creation of a specialized division in indigenous matters, in infrastructure, human resources, and this strengthens the operational institutional capacity. The public ministry has created an ethnic division. This division should promote a ruling that allows for a special prosecutor to be involved when indigenous individuals are involved. This should be based on special customary law reflected in the statutes on indigenous peoples, the criminal code, and the Constitution. This office has shown to be of support and has been useful in cases involving indigenous individuals. There has often been a mediator involved in environmental and land ownership. This is important when indigenous peoples have land claims, and particularly as regards initial contacts. The ethnic division was created years ago, and it was created to go together and support isolated indigenous groups, and in particular, in initial first contact. This division is also a mediator when there's a conflict of interest. For example, they created a working group that brought together different stakeholders in Chaco and the Ayuredo people. As regards the criminal procedural code and specific matters involving indigenous peoples and Convention 169, our criminal code does bear in mind Convention 169, setting forth in its articles the obligation of bearing in mind the cultural characteristics of the indigenous peoples in order to avoid cultural alienation. In respect for international and national norms. Reparations are very similar to those in ancestral customs, and this is reflected in Paraguayan legislation. We have legislation that does cover criminal actions when there are punishable offenses that affect or involve an indigenous community or individuals in that community. This also allows for an acceptance of customary indigenous law. Any member of the indigenous community can request that a matter be overturned if it is not in step with the customary law. In addition to this, there are experts that have cultural knowledge and are impartial. On this point, I should like to mention a number of annexes in which in the region of Concepción, the department chief of the ethnic division goes before authorities to address a file, Aristido Hernal, it has to do with sexual harassment in Fuerte Limbo, which is a district that is within the Concepción jurisdiction. This is an area of Chaco. And this comes from March of this year. The ethnic division sees the leader of the community, Benjamin Birsne. This is where the accused was from. And there is a request that that Mr. Bernal be freed because the time of detention was considered to be sufficient as a sentence. So a friendly agreement was reached, and less severe measures were agreed upon so that the individual can return to the community where the individual was kept under surveillance. In step with that expressed by the leader Birsi, this office sought a friendly agreement between parties in the preliminary hearing. This, bearing in mind Article 26 of Criminal Procedural Code, that allows for the accused to be received in the community's punishment system. As regards self-determination and Indies operations, in Indy, based on its community decisions on land, election of authorities and leaders, documentation, birth registries, identity cards, and indigenous identifications are all tools that are covered and addressed in our legislation. The We have legislation that sets forth that individuals can be elected in their communities, and Indy must reflect these registries. In 2008-2009, under Madam Matwangi's work in the division, we have seen a congress held, an indigenous congress. This allowed for the indigenous peoples to elect their leaders. This congress has led to problems when it comes to respecting the cultural diversity of the peoples. Currently, there is a concrete proposal that proposes alternatives that could lead to participation of indigenous leaders without conflict. The decision should come from the indigenous peoples as regards self-determination. Contributions in the permanent forum is essential, as this forum brings together the thousands of years of wisdom of indigenous groups, and this allows for, among other things, the election of leaders within the communities. There are important roles that the state plays due to constitutional mandate. Any attempt to provide authority beyond their authority would go against current national legislation. In the area of administration of justice, and more specifically as a support body for tax investigation or any other authority's investigation, our office plays a role of technical consultant in cases that involve indigenous individuals, either as victims or aggressors. This is in step with the Articles 26, 432 to 438 of our criminal procedural code. There was a question on the Chaco police forces. They should be led by officials that are considered neutral in the discharge of their official duties. As of 2009, the National Police is in a process of strengthening its institution and its oversight. It is doing so with interinstitutional cooperation in the Interior Ministry, working with the United States, and the internal affairs is to be strengthened. Internal affairs undertakes investigations when complaints are made and the results are sent to the police justice system so that the rulings can be implemented and so that administrative responsibility can be assigned. The idea is for all appropriate bodies undertake pertinent investigations. The Higher Institute for Police Studies has been undertaking ongoing training in areas tied to human rights. These are for those who hope to be officers, non-commissioned officers, and all those who seek promotion. We have established an emphasis on the protection of vulnerable sectors, and among these communities, we have the indigenous communities. We'll offer a description, then, of the training centers, the Police Academy for the training of officers is in its second year of including human rights material in the Police Academy for non-commissioned officers is in their second 6-month period with the inclusion of human rights material. Throughout National Police and through Resolution 805 of 15 December 2009, the Police Commander's Office has to answer to the Interior Ministry. 22 scholarships have been offered for Indigenous community members to enter into these studies. And there has been a waiver of application fees. This allows for the promotion of indigenous individuals to these civil service careers. As regards indigenous education, we are preparing indigenous boys and girls for life using their cultural realities and our national realities. This is the goal as set forth by the National Education Ministry. The indigenous education is characterized by intercultural exchanges of experiences and knowledge from different cultures. This reflects dialogue between the indigenous and non-indigenous cultures. The indigenous community is recognized by legislation from 2007. These educational policies national policies. Hence, the government will provide the resources necessary for this indigenous education throughout the country. Currently, indigenous education is a priority for the government. We work with community leaders on this concept of intercultural education. Indigenous individuals should be researchers in their history and the training of their people. They should also include the participation of families and leaders in their communities. The idea is for the indigenous children to be proud of their history and language and culture. The Ministry of Education, working with teachers and indigenous leaders, as of 2010, are implementing a teacher training program that works very closely with the 1,100-some indigenous teachers working in the indigenous schools throughout the country. There are over 400 indigenous institutions throughout the country, 403 in early childhood education and basic elementary education. There are 18 high schools and 35 ongoing educational training centers. 97% of these institutions are in rural areas and 3% are in non-rural areas. 97% of this education for indigenous sectors is within the official government support sector, and the remaining are private sector organizations. And currently, there are 22,000-some children, boys and girls alike, that are registered in the official indigenous schools. In 2008, there were merely 19,000. One of the primary goals is that of lifting the inscription and registration of indigenous children . And this is a nationwide effort. There are educational programs in different regions aimed at ensuring that teachers, indigenous teachers, have gone through their second cycle of training and that they have begun their third cycle of education. They can be supported by itinerant teachers that are working in the different communities. For teachers that have finished their high school training there is a program for professorship in intercultural bilingual education. We see this in the Department of Mumbai, and it was extended into the other Paraguayan provinces with indigenous populations. This campaign for training teachers began in April in all departments throughout the country that have indigenous individuals. Three areas are being focused on: theoretical foundations of intercultural studies, reading and writing, and mathematics. There is written material created by the indigenous professors in indigenous languages and Spanish, and there is a study guide as well for preparing materials that the teachers can then reuse in their classrooms. We'll be seeking to open new high schools, new schools, in 2009 and 2010. There are 15 new schools that were operating in 2009 and 38 in 2010. There are five additional schools that have been opened, that will be opened in 2010. In 2009, the nation's budget allocated money for the creation of 193 different areas for teachers to be trained. This has been increased to 227 new categories for teachers over the next through to 2014. In the next 2 to 3 years, there will be funds for the training of 700 some indigenous teachers that will be working in the indigenous schools to offer intercultural bilingual education. Thank you for your understanding. Thank you for your attention. And before I conclude, I wish to respond to the last question that has to do with the signing of the agreement between Paraguay and Bolivia. On 12 June 2009, the President of the Republic, Lugo Mendes, and the President of the Plurinational State of Bolivia, Evo Morales, signed an historic declaration that contains a number of points that are favorable to the Chaco region in Bolivia and Paraguay. The European experience that was noted does indicate that there can be progress made with good intentions, and we hope that it is so. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, Mr. Vice Minister. We will now give the floor to Professor Clavero for a general comment. Professor Clavero. Thank you, Chairman.
Ya muy sumariamente por apuro de tiempo.
And since we are short on time, I think that the first point that we need to look at today is that the forum has initiated a new practice here in the permanent forum. That is the practice of becoming a venue for dialogue between governments, indigenous organizations, and United Nations agencies. This comes thanks to the initiative of inviting the governments of Paraguay and Bolivia. This has launched this dynamic of visiting countries, providing reports. This should continue in the future. This is important because it's a new practice, and I think it is also important because, and I think that this is the, it is important because of the matter that's being addressed.
And also, we must not forget here that what we are studying here is the existence of human exploitation in the Americas. We have Chaco between Bolivia and Paraguay. We also have Brazil and Argentina. We find individuals, families, and communities who are subjected to forced labor, who are in fact exploited, subjected to exploitation. Here we are meeting as an association of indigenous peoples at the UN, and it seems to us that we do not have sufficient strength to liberate these peoples, these individuals, and these families. But that, however, is our objective. This is why we have met here, and this is why we are starting to implement these new practices. Here, first and foremost, we need to thank governments, but not only governments. Not only Paraguay and Bolivia, we also need to thank the indigenous peoples, the Guarani people, the struggle for self-determination of indigenous peoples in Paraguay, and we need to thank the teams for peace, the country teams of the United Nations, both in Bolivia and in Paraguay, because cooperation is valuable for this initiative and for these new practices. Now I would like to take up the substance of the issue. I shall be very brief. The Assembly of the Guarani People, to repeat what has been said here, we have understood how urgent it was and how impatient we are now. The issue must be considered It must also be resolved, not just considered. We are talking here of exploitation of the Guarani people, of its brothers and sisters, of the assembly of the Guarani people. I think that this feeling is one which must allow us to come to a conclusion. The urgency is justified. We understand our impatience. We need to consider this question with all interested parties who have met here today. And the self-determination for peoples of Paraguay representative has also made an extremely important statement. And there was an answer here given by the Vice Minister for Paraguay. This is not merely a matter of the Guarani people. It is also a matter of the Chaco people and others who are also suffering from a very serious situation. We recall the persecution and harassment suffered by part of the Ajoreo people and who are legitimately exercising their right to self-determination with the distance necessary as well from other peoples. This is not merely a matter of this one issue. The Vice Minister of Paraguay also spoke of cases which have not been settled and which were the subject of a sentence handed down by the International Court on Human Rights. Ultimately, it seems to me that of all of those who have come here, no one will dispute what I am saying, but we need to persevere. The forum must persevere. I know that the forum will be reviewing all of the material and that new ideas will be presented and put forward, and we will continue to follow up on this question. I recalled at the outset that we have an invitation from the two governments, Paraguay and Bolivia, and a visit was organized to Chaco. We shall be pursuing that work, and we are counting on the cooperation of the indigenous peoples and the Forum of the United Nations and of governments as well. I thank you on behalf of everyone.
Professor,
thank you very much, Professor Clavedo. As member of an indigenous community, let me say that it is very important for us to address matters such as that faced by the Guarani people. Professor Clavedo and the Vice Minister have both pointed out that this is not a matter just that affects the Guarani people, but rather a great many indigenous people that have suffered the expropriation of their lands and territories. And indigenous peoples do not have written land title documents, but rather our historical rights are based instead on having pre-existed prior to the arrival of the colonial countries in our territories. So a visit followed by a dialogue between governments of the region, indigenous peoples' organizations, and United Nations agencies, together with all of the participants at this ninth session, has been a very important historical opportunity, an opportunity to learn. We highly value this in the permanent forum. I should also like to recognize and express our appreciation to the participants at this first dialogue. I should like to call for an applause for all of those who have made the effort, governments, indigenous peoples' organizations. We will give the floor to the Secretariat. The Secretariat has important information for us prior to adjourning. Thank you, Chairman.
Just two announcements. Caucus leaders and chairs should pick up their passes now after this meeting is over from Sonia Smallcomb, who will be near the podium or to the right of the podium. The organizations can pick passes at 9 a.m. in the morning in the General Assembly lobby. This will be happening tomorrow. And also the other announcement is that Interagency Support Group is pleased to meet with chairpersons of the various indigenous caucuses on Friday morning, 23 April, between 9 and 9:45 in the morning in DC2 building, on the 8th floor of the DC2 building at the UNEP New York office of UNEP. The address is East 44th Street, DC2. The interagency support group member will be there at the reception entrance to sign in everybody who wants to participate. It is a small room, so the members, the seats are limited. So please keep it in mind. Thank you.
Mr. Vice Minister, we thank you for being here with us. Thank you. I have an announcement for the delegates present. There are organizations that were not able to speak on our topic today. We will give them the floor on Friday morning. We hope that the organizations that are on the speakers list will be here then to take the floor. Tomorrow we will continue with our discussions on the matter set forth for our discussion. We'll begin at 10 in the morning. We will be in conference room 1 of the North Lawn building. The session is adjourned.